Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Robinhood, and they're giving our listeners, you guys, a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. It's like getting free money. I literally just playing with this before we went on the air. Sign up at realghost.robinhood.com. That's realghost, R-E-A-L-G-H-O-S-T, .robinhood.com. Get on this. It's literally like getting free money, people. Check it out. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a child is able to see life through the eyes of a spirit. A haunting night at the Stanley Hotel gives young friends one they will never forget. And a husband and wife visit an abandoned cemetery to seek a thrill. What they find, however, is much darker. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Write in your ghost stories to us. Right there on the website. You can go to that, realghoststoriesonline.com. Email your audio file if you're going to do it on a smart device. Just record it right there in the recording app and send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform it is you're listening to us on. Help us grow the show. Let other folks know that we, in fact, exist. If you really like the show, want the extra stuff, the EPP episodes, with that new format to them, they're really, really getting good. And an amazing Christmas episode we put together this week. You can check that out at ghostpodcast.com. I'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later in the show. Really creepy stories in that episode that just, they set the scene for a dark Christmas, if that's what you're into. Tony and Sean joining you on today's episode of the program. And how are you this fine day?
I'm doing all right. Just wrapped up Elf for the seventh time this season.
Meaning you watched the movie?
Absolutely.
Seventh time. Well, that's a good, that's a feat. That's, I don't know if I'm proud of you or ashamed. One of the two.
You know, we laugh because we don't want to cry, Tony. But really, the real question is, if you have family, you have friends, you have another set of friends, every time you get together throughout the holiday season, everybody has their one or two or three favorite traditions. And sure, obviously, whether it's Elf or Christmas Vacation or Home Alone, I mean, it's safe to say that there's less than, what would you say, five Christmas movies that, regardless of who you chat with, it's got to be their favorite. So you want to watch it together. So sure, thus, you maybe watch it seven times in a five-week period.
Just like, okay, it's your turn to come over and watch Elf now. So like a rotating email you're sending out or texting. Okay, Elf time today.
Today it'll be 11:15, tomorrow 1:30. But really,
there you go.
You know, those favorite movies throughout the holiday season, mm-hmm, they're that good. So whether you watch them one, two, seven times, you always pick up a part. Do you have an ultimate favorite? I know Christmas Vacation is up there on both of our, mm-hmm, favorite lists, but do you have a favorite?
I would say Christmas Vacation is probably it, but we have like a handful that we rotate now. Deck the Halls, I think Danny DeVito's in that one. The Christmas with the Cranks, Tim Allen, that's probably number two, at least as far as what we watch. Ernest Saves Christmas.
That's wow.
No, I haven't seen that one forever. I remember going to the theater and seeing that as a kid, and I probably haven't seen it since. Seeing that at the Cinema 1 and 2 at the Forest Mall in 1989 or whatever it was. That was...
I would say it's a solid couple of years since there has been a Ernest reference in topical conversation, regardless of the topic.
It's because he's dead.
I mean, and there's a few folks right now thinking, Ernest?
Ernest? Wait,
Google it. It's a Google.
Yeah.
If you want to just waste about... if you want to waste a weekend rather than binging on your favorite series on the Hulu or the Netflix... Just watch all the Ernest movies.
Ernest goes to jail.
You'll never get back.
Yeah, Ernest goes to jail. Ernest saves Christmas. I think there's just Ernest. if you like Pee Wee Herman, I guess, and this is really to the folks that are anyone 30 and below would not know Ernest, because he died when we were kids.
For you and me, it's right at the cusp of we were just old enough to have memories of Pee Wee Herman and Ernest.
Yeah, so if you like Pee Wee Herman, you might like Ernest. He's kind of in that vein of just weird oddity, bizarre. Worth checking out, I guess, if that's your thing. But if not, you're going to go, what the hell was this? And why was it so popular? But Ernest was one of a kind. And then he died at the peak of his career. I think there was an Ernest movie that came out after he died. It's like, he's like Tupac without a legitimate career going. So there you go.
All the best. I die way too young.
Yeah. Although I think Ernest beat the 26 year old rule, or the where all the legends, like the musician legends that died at 26, like Tupac and Hendrix.
There's tiers of how amazing you are. If you are insanely amazing, you go way too young. If you're pretty good, you got a line of movies, maybe one, two, or six. You live a little bit longer. And then if you're just terrible at life, you live to be 110 years old.
And you get to play all the casinos for the rest of your life.
And you're a part of news outlets across the country. Exactly. And it's Betty's birthday, 109 today, just outside of Cleveland. We have nothing else to say aside from she's not dead yet.
We'll do my greatest hits next, right after we do bingo. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost story with us. Let's jump over here to our first story of the day. Hey, guys, if this story is a bit long, I apologize. For my friend's safety, I'm going to use different names. Let's start with my life background. When I was around 6, 3 days after my birthday, my mom passed away. That was a very traumatic experience for me because, after all, I had no mom. Soon after, my dad got strung out on drugs and pills, and as a child, I went through a lot of experiences with spirits. I'm a new listener to this podcast and find this very interesting, and it comforts me to know some people got through the same things I've gone through and still go through. Back to the story. Since I had a lot of traumatic experiences, I always felt different. I was in 6th grade and started to realize I had a very high sensitivity and connection to the spiritual world. On the last day of the 6th grade, I created a Ouija board. I brought the board to school and played with a few friends. Started to feel very weird and creeped out. Soon it happened that my friend started to get choked. She was gasping for breath, and me and my other friend saw nothing choking her. We soon ripped the board up into separate pieces after we encountered a very evil demon. That's what we believe it was. Now, I'm in 7th grade and still have a sensitivity. When I got to 7th grade, my friend I met started to have the same feelings as me and thoughts. Keep in mind, I never met her in person and barely knew her before school. Soon we started to realize we had a spiritual connection. I found out that she had a very strong connection to spirits also. Normally, a person's connection to the spirit world, if you're sensitive, is in the area of the ages of 5 to 7. My connection number is a 15. I have no clue how to do the things I can do with spirits. Most people can talk or see them. I can do that, but I can also see things through the eyes of the spirit. I'd be in my room, get glimpses of where my brother was. Not just glimpses, but very detailed visions of where he is and what he was doing. I also have empathy for spirits. When I say this, I mean being able to tell how they died and if they're a boy or a girl. When I see a spirit of a demon, I'm not scared. I just have some feelings of comfort and have conversations with the spirit. I'll come home and say, okay, you can come to my room now and we'll talk. Because of my trauma, it's very great to know that someone will always be there so that you can talk to them. Sometimes I even feel my dead mom in my room as I talk. I can also control them. By that, I mean make them leave or come in or even what spirit control what the spirits are doing there. Another thing, I have things that pop in my mind. Maybe I could be psychic. I think the spiritual world is unknown to some. Tell me what you think about my story. Thanks, guys, for the podcast, and keep doing what you're doing. It sounds like they have a good recognition that there's something going on there, and that they're able to see and understand things. I think my opinion on this, just from doing this show for a long time, is they may be overstepping the bounds of what they think they have in control of these things. And maybe, this is a relatively new thing in terms of life, being able to recognize these things and experience these things. And thus far, control has been there. But that doesn't always, I think, stay the case.
A lot of confidence there. A lot of times we hear stories where they are almost lost and confused. Where does this all come to be and what, yeah, what this is? But for this person that wrote in, they're very aware, very detailed, very confident. And I guess that's a silver lining. You're not trying to rip your hair out wondering what in the heck is happening to me, seeing this or seeing that. He just seems to be very confident in that. And I think he could monetize this if this extends to other people. Oh, would you like to know about your long lost cousin, sister's friend, uncle?
Yeah.
Well, call in the next 30 minutes.
You know, and some people, I think, definitely have that gift. It's just a matter of, you know, not overstepping it or assuming you have more control than you do of it, especially if this is something like a younger person that's still kind of getting the control of the reins on it. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Just before went on the air here today, I was playing around with Robinhood. And this is it's an investing app or tool, whatever you want to call it, that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, cryptos, all commission free. Now, if you're already feeling overwhelmed and like, I don't get any of that, here's the thing. They strive to make this simple for everyone, not just the wealthy. I really don't know much about this world until I started kind of playing around with this. And they give you a stock to start out with. So you don't even have to like use your own money right away. You can, here's a stock, try it. And you can kind of get a feel for how this works. And they really make this, for lack of a term, idiot proof. Again, I'm not really well versed in this world of stuff, but playing with it, it's the first thing that has ever made me feel comfortable starting to learn about the world of buying or selling stocks and things of that nature. Not intimidating. It really, truly is. You can try it with confidence, especially, you know, without even using your own money. Simple, intuitive, clear design. It tells you all the stuff you want to know in clear language. No costs no commissions up front. Other brokerages, they can charge up to $10 for every single trade you do. Robinhood does not charge commission for fees at all in trade stocks. Keep all of your profits. And the cool thing about this is you learn by doing. You learn how to invest to build your portfolio. You discover new stocks, trade favorite companies with personalized news feeds that come up and tell you all the information on the stock that you're looking at, what's going on with it. So you can kind of make a decision. It gives you even advice from other investors. Custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moments to invest. Now, here's what I'm talking about. You can try it for free. They're giving you guys a free stock. This is a ticket to free money. Free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Here's how you get it. Go to RealGhost, R-E-A-L-G-H-O-S-T, .Robinhood.com. RealGhost.Robinhood.com. Sign up. That's how you get it. They give you a free stock. It literally is free money. I don't know any other way to put it. So if you want some free money, go to RealGhost.Robinhood.com and you will get yourself that free stock. Could be something as great as Apple, Ford, Sprint. They will give you a free stock. So check it out for yourself. RealGhost.Robinhood.com. It's really, I'm liking it. I was playing it for about a half hour right before we went on the air. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another letter. It says, hey guys, my name's Sarah. Just started listening to the podcast. I love it. I have a paranormal experience I'd like to share with you. When I was about 14, my dad took the family on vacation to a guest ranch in Colorado where his family had gone for vacation when he was a boy. There was a little cell service there, or much to do after dark, so we rented a scary movie to watch in our cabin. The movie we chose to rent was The Shining. My dad told me that Stephen King had written the book after being inspired by a paranormal experience he had while staying at the Stanley Hotel, which happened to be in the same town as this ranch. I begged my parents to see the Stanley, so we took a quick walkthrough of the hotel and grounds before we headed back home to Illinois. I vowed to go back someday and experience everything the hotel had to offer. Flash forward to spring break of my junior year in college. My friend invited me along on a trip to visit his sister in Colorado. I proposed. We stayed at the Stanley Hotel for a couple of nights. I've been obsessed with The Shining and that hotel ever since my first visit. Before staying here, my friend and I both knew it was rumored to be haunted, but I didn't think much of it. I was mainly charmed by the hotel's history and its ties to the movie. I don't consider myself sensitive to the paranormal, and neither of us had ever experienced anything before upon arrival. My friend and I checked in the front desk, brought our luggage to the fourth floor, where our room was. Can't remember which room it was. I think somewhere in the 410 to 418 area. Upon entering the room, my friend made the remark that he smelled tobacco smoke. I agreed that I also smelled it. We're both slightly disgusted that someone would be smoking at this historic hotel, especially indoors. It wasn't a stale smoke smell either. It smelled fresh. We looked in the hallway and outside our window, could not locate the source of the smoke. Eventually, while unpacking, the smell faded and we never smelled it again during the stay. First night we were there, I didn't get much sleep. I remember waking up several times during the wee hours of the morning to the sound of children playing and running outside our door. It sounded as if they were chasing one another down the hallway. I kept thinking to myself, what parents would let their children run or play in the halls of a hotel in the middle of the night? My friend was dead asleep. I don't like confrontation, so I ignored it and tried to sleep instead of complaining to the parents. Eventually, the children went to bed and their morning came. Our stay came to an end. I was still peeved about the children waking me up each night, so I decided to mention this to the front desk while checking out. I told the girl our stay was great except for the loud family on the fourth floor. She responded confused, explaining she didn't think any families with children were staying on that floor because most of the rooms, if not all, I'm not certain, had only one bed. We all shrugged. I collected some pamphlets at the desk before we walked away. Pack up the car. During our drive to my friend's sister's house, I started leafing through the material I had taken from the front desk. One of the papers was from the hotel, and it was describing the paranormal experiences guests have had at the hotel. When I began reading, I was in disbelief. The paper mentioned that guests are staying on the fourth floor often report hearing children's laughter and footsteps. It also mentioned that some guests smell tobacco smoke in their rooms, even though it is a smoke-free hotel. The hotel does have an explanation for the smoke. I believe it involved an older gentleman who was a guest at the hotel a long time ago. It was something about him smoking cherry tobacco in his pipe. I really wish I had kept the paper, but it was 3 years ago. I'm honest when I say that I had no previous knowledge of these guests encounters before our visit. Part of me hoped we might experience something at the hotel, but I didn't want to be let down, so I didn't research any of the stories. Gives me goosebumps to think about the ghost children who disrupted my sleep. I plan on visiting this beautiful hotel once again, but this time as a believer, not a skeptic. Thank you for letting me share my story. Lots of things happen at the Stanley Hotel, and lots of very bizarre experiences. It's interesting when you can match one up to ones that other people have had. Did you have anything weird happen when we were there like 12 years ago?
Well, aside from the less than creepy guy that picked me up at the Denver airport and then the long, winding road, dimly lit drive to the Stanley Hotel. Once I got to the hotel, it was great. Just the drive was the thing that was almost pants crapping for me.
How did, because you came out, I was already there. You showed up really late at night. And it was me and my friend Jamie was there, and you got there at like, I want to say like midnight or 1 a.m.?
Yeah, I think so. I think the flight was delayed and got in a little late. And I think initially the plan was that you or maybe Jamie was flying in as well. We were going to collectively get up to Estes Park because it's, what, 70-ish miles from the airport there?
Yeah, it's all right there, yeah.
And, you know, when you have a shuttle van, usually it has a name on the side or just a van. Hey, going to the Stanley? I don't know, Carl. Am I? Is this? And then, thank God, made it there and checked in. And then I remember going over to your room and you guys were all but sleeping, and how nice enough to have The Shining on in the background. Because I had told you leading up to this that, you know what, here's the deal. I respect those that are into it and enjoy being scared and, ooh, pranks. I love getting pranked. I love pranking people. I love scaring the shit out of people. I don't. I do not. I don't like Halloween. I don't like getting scared. I don't like scaring others. I'm trying to make them laugh, but I don't like scaring them. I just don't like it. Probably early on Funhouse experience at the Wisconsin State Fair, some fucker was just bored in the carnival and he just wanted to scare Sean. Let's scare the little kid. I digress.
Tell me more how you really feel about it.
Dr. Phil, you've shut your mouth. So, as it is, you knew this going into it. So, of course, late at night, dimly lit hotel room. Of course, we're not going to have Saved by the Bell, the college years playing on in the background. No, let's have the one and only movie that put this place on the map for scaring the shit out of people. So, aside from that, not at all. You?
No, I actually slept really good that night. I mean, I think we drank a lot, but
I believe the alcohol, it was an induced pleasure sleep due to the vodka.
Yeah, I think it was a conundrum night, actually.
God. By the way, random curveball off ramp, conundrum wine that Tony introduced me to a decade plus ago as not necessarily the wine connoisseur. And early on, as you may or may not know about Tony, enjoys cooking and pairing steak with a red wine or a white wine, this, that, or the other. So great knowledge to email Tony. And if you're having a great dinner and such, ask him. He'll give you two or six or seven ideas. Conundrum is a wine that he introduced me to. And of course, when a good friend, a good wine connoisseur, introduces you to a wine, the next time or 10 times you meet, of course you're going to have a bottle or three of that wine.
Yeah, especially at 1 a.m. at a haunted hotel. Yeah, and then I believe I got married the next day. And this was to my first wife. This was not to Jen. And that
I didn't know where we wanted to go on this. I was being respectful.
But that's fine. And that one lasted about all of 2 or 3 months. So
you blink. Yeah. It's kind of like when you're driving home from visiting family and you go through that small town and you blink.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where it's like, maybe there's a reason you're feeling really not great about this.
It's nothing to do with the Stanley. Maybe there's somebody from the other side. Tony.
There might be something else.
Don't do it.
That's where I wish I had those voices that would have done that.
But there is video evidence, which we can somehow get it up on the website, possibly, where I was recording. I did a little ceremony video, and I said three words to describe your thoughts today.
Holy fucking shit. Was that what I said?
Holy fucking shit.
And that should have been like red flag number 10 of that moment. But unfortunately, we must learn from our mistakes. So there you go. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letters is a few stories, but I'll stick to one for now. This was about 9 years ago in a small town in Arkansas. My now husband and I were into watching the show Ghost Hunters. We decided to go to this creepy church and graveyard in the middle of nowhere, close to where my husband grew up. I'll save what happened at this church and graveyard for another emailer call. We didn't sleep much that night from nightmares, but after that night, everything seemed fine. Well, one night we got into bed and I got back up to get a glass of water. In between the kitchen and living room was a bar, which was right where the sink was located. So I'm standing there at the sink getting my water and I take a drink. I guess I saw a movement out of the corner of my eye. I looked over to my right and kind of behind me, and I saw a dark shadow. I thought it was my husband, and was saying to him that he had scared the crud out of me. So I turned around the rest of the way to talk to him, and I fully turned and look at him. There's nothing there. I threw the cup in the sink and took off running to the bedroom. As I jumped into bed, I realized I left the kitchen light on and asked my husband to go turn it off. I just told him that I had forgotten to turn it off. I didn't tell him what I saw that night, and he didn't say anything about a shadow. It took me a while to tell him what happened because I was sure he'd think I'd gone crazy. When I did tell him, he did believe me. I knew I wasn't crazy. This wasn't the only time I saw the shadow figure. I saw it one other time. I can remember. I never saw anything like this before. We went to that church and graveyard. I'm not sure if whatever it has followed us home or what. It's been about 5 years or so since I've seen it, but the two times I remember seeing it, it's just like I was standing there and it was just watching me. It was creepy. Love you guys' show. Hope to hear my story in the podcast. Thanks, guys. I mean, you put yourself into places. There's things, it's not possessions, but it's called attachments, where things latch on. And sometimes they stay around for a while. Sometimes they're there just for a day. But that sounds like what may have happened in that case.
This is a little bit strange, a little bit interesting that this story was brought up a couple weeks ago. Now, I live in Arkansas, here in Little Rock, and a friend of mine and I drove over to the Dallas area. On the way, about an hour out of town, she said, "Did you ever go see Greary's Light?" I said, "What?" Mm-hmm. Apparently, there is, years ago, eons ago, apparently a train conductor died. Mm-hmm. And he would hold, as the conductor, he would hold a light when he was a passenger train, when the train would stop. Apparently, this light comes about where you see it off in the distance. You try to get closer, but it stays equal distance from you. It moves. Mm-hmm. You can see it. You think you're getting closer, but it continues to be off in the distance. And on multiple times, she has seen this, and it is a thing. I'm not sure if there's any correlation here, but I had never heard of that prior. There is factual evidence that indeed there was this issue where somebody passed away involving a train, and it is a holy shit moment right there, and it's definitely something that I'm gonna go check out. I've not personally seen it; she has, and I'll bring it up here in some future shows. But it's a thing. Have you heard about that?
I don't know if I've heard of that one specifically. I know there's different places in the country where there are those sort of things, and they are very mysterious, and people. I remember watching it on an old episode of Unsolved Mysteries. Maybe it was that specific light. I just don't remember what the name of it was, where a very similar type story. And at the time, you know, whatever the science was of 1988, they were trying to figure out, you know, is this a weird atmospheric reflection from some other horizon of car lights or whatnot? But there are some of these that are just completely unexplained and nobody knows where they're coming from or why they're there. I know. I think sometimes we can jump to the conclusion of the tragedy of the train accident and stuff, and maybe that is the explanation. But I almost wonder if sometimes it is some sort of weird atmospheric thing that is going on. Have you ever seen there's really interesting pictures, and it is a phenomena where sometimes. Off in the distance, especially in the just the right terrain and just the right atmospheric conditions, meaning the weather, reflections of a city or whatever is being reflected will be seen almost in the clouds, as if there was like a city in the clouds. And people have seen this, and there's really amazing pictures out there. And it's like, what the hell is that? But it's almost the same way that we see mirages on the ground sometimes, the water spots. It's the same sort of principle, but just like in a much more mirrored form. And it can be insanely startling to experience or see this. And sometimes it can even appear to be on the ground off in the distance, and you keep going and going and going, and eventually it just disappears and the city's not even there. And then it turns out that city's like 100 miles away, and the light had just reflected perfectly enough for that anomaly to happen.
That right there is a reminder or a suggestion for me to let the significant other drive. Honey, I am seeing things. I'm going to pull over right now. As far as seeing a city in and of itself, mm-hmm. No. Mirages, absolutely.
Sure.
Hot day, asphalt. Off in the distance, looks like we're going to go into a lake. Absolutely, but not a mirrored image. It is amazing the tricks that your eyes can play on you, your brain. But as far as this light situation, I just think of us being all like cats, human-sized cats, and somebody has the laser, and they just are flicking it around. They keep moving it around. We get close to the light, they move it away.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's just God's laser pointer.
Fuck you!
and we are literally his cats.
It's like, you know what? I'm bored today. We got a group that came down. They took a whole tour bus. It's a haunted tour. We'll just give them some fun.
Break out the laser light. And here we go. That's probably, I believe it's probably exactly how it goes. Did you ever
It was in the Bible.
Did you? Yes, it's in Revelations. It's one of those weird verses that you can't make sense of, but somehow it translates to God's laser light.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you ever go to summer camp?
I went to day camp. I never went away. Probably should have sent me, but just, you know, in town, you go for the day, then you go home. You?
No, never happened. Came close once, but then the teachers went on strike and we didn't go. So that was sixth grade. There's in our next EPP episode, it's Alone at Christmas. There's a story in there about this camp. It's a summer camp that is sitting off in the woods on its own, but the legend goes way back to where a child basically passed away and died in a winter storm because they couldn't get help. And the mother essentially goes mad, and there's a legend of her in the area. And the kids at this camp are seeing this woman who, in terms of timeline, should be dead. But they're seeing her wandering around this summer camp. It's a creepy, creepy story. And I didn't know if you had any summer camp horror stories. I never had the chance to partake.
Now that any future children in my life, I will not want to have them go away to summer camp.
There we go. I think I've slept in a tent once in my life, and it was in my backyard with my dad, and that was what they considered. Like, oh, we can go try and camp, sure. And it was a little A-frame, so the two of us just barely fit in there. And then he snored uncontrollably, horribly the entire night. And I eventually, at about 3 a.m., just went out and sat by the creek and talked to the raccoons.
Is that the first time in your life that you realized your dad snored?
No, I could hear it. I mean, it was always a thing. It was I could hear him across the hall. It was that loud.
Okay, because for me, that experience was not in a tent in the backyard when I was, you said you were six or so?
Yeah, right around
there. How old? Okay. For me, that was last year in a hotel room in Pittsburgh.
You had no idea.
I always thought it was my stepmom.
Oh, okay.
So growing up, stayed at dad and stepmom's, and you could hear it through the wall. Mm-hmm. I thought it was her. But Milwaukee, Wisconsin, obviously we're both from Wisconsin. So my dad and I went to see the Brewers baseball team. They played in Pittsburgh last summer, and I flew up from Arkansas. He came over from Wisconsin. We stayed, and at about 2 in the morning, my God, you would have thought there was a freight train coming by the Holiday Inn Express. And I thought to myself, son of a bitch, it's you. It's not her.
And how did you handle that? Did you have anger? Were you frustrated? How did you deal with that?
We'll let you know after the break.
I eventually got to the point of just feeling like resentment and anger.
Here's the thing. In the situation as it was, my dad drove nonstop from Wisconsin. So obviously dad's son time. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Whatever you want, let's go. Hot Air Balloon Festival in Albuquerque. Yeah, cool. I'm afraid of heights. But yes, father son time. Let's do it. So I first was, you know what, I'll just not get any sleep these next few days. But it came to the end, and it was just a weekend deal where I, in jest, just brought it up at lunch. Mm-hmm. And he was not leaving until the next morning. So he said that he would stay at another hotel because he said, oh, it's very important that you get sleep. I said, Dad, don't be silly. This is ridiculous. So he said, no, I'll sleep in a different hotel. So finally, after you go back and forth like seven times, stubborn person, finally, okay, fine. If you want to go to another hotel. I find out later, we talk about it at like Christmas, that he didn't stay at another hotel. He just drove through the night back home because he is so frugal that he did not want to spend the extra $74 to get another hotel room. He just drove back to Wisconsin.
In the middle of the night.
Wow. In the middle of the night.
There you go. I don't even know how to react to that. It's just like, Okay. Parents. I just chalk it up to parents.
There it is.
And I shake my head.
It's there
like,
you go.
Like, I don't, you know, I'm always wondering, you know, how are my kids going to look at me and, you know, when they get older and in the interaction? And I just go, I hope not in these similar ways. I hope to not be this or that, that sort of, you know, just bizarre unpredictability. Although there is a lot of predictability there, but there's just so much of nonsensical predictability, in my opinion. So anyway. That's going to wrap up the program for today. Merry Christmas, everybody. We're getting really close to the holiday. Check out that new EPP episode. There's going to be a preview of it, I believe. What's the date that this is released? Either it's later in the week or it's already out there. I think it's...
So you should check the front door there. I sent you your holiday dicky. It's supposed to arrive today.
I can't wait for my holiday dicky. That sounds... That sounds wonderful.
It's the turtleneck that isn't like the full shirt. It's just the neck part. Uncle Eddie on a Christmas vacation.
It's good to define the term dicky when two men are talking. So somebody just like turns on the podcast and they just happen to go right to that point. And it's like, is it your holiday dicky? Yeah. Okay. Yep. There you go. All right. That wraps up the program. Ghostpodcast.com for all the EPP stuff. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.